Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, and of course with me today is Stargate Pioneer. What's up, SP?
Having a blast. It's getting close to the holiday season. Got the holiday cheer going on. It's gonna be a good couple months.
Yes, yes, it will. If you have not listened to the show before, we here are all about the hobby podcaster. As it mentioned in the intro, we are here to give you some tips and tools that can help you make your podcast a little bit better. We always do encourage your feedback, so please go to betterpodcasting.com and give us some questions or some suggestions or whatever's on your mind. We would be happy to address it.
Are you talking about you're happy to get dressed in a dress?
Of course. Of course. That's exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you what those... I mean.
Yeah. No. You save that for the weekends.
I do. I don't put that on camera. You know that. We had an exclusive contract that we signed when we did that.
Thank goodness.
If you have not been following our series to date, well, first off, it's only 2 episodes. Go catch up. I encourage you to do that. But we are running a multi-part series here covering the basics of podcasting. We did mention this before, that the first 5 or 6 episodes are going to be a little bit different of a format than going forward long term. But we want to start off here with a little bit of a series on the basics and the foundation of doing a podcast. Last couple of weeks, we covered things from brainstorming right up to purchasing of some mic gear and a bunch of other stuff in between. And this week, we're going to be talking about, wait for it, the editing process.
You have to edit podcasts?
Yes, you do. Because what'll happen here is, I'll give you an example. I'm going to throw it over to SP, and I'm going to keep talking, and you won't actually hear it because I'm going to edit it out. Right, SP?
Absolutely. I'm just here talking away, and I am trying to overtalk Steven, and it's just not working, is it?
No, I couldn't do it. We've just been podcasting too long that it just felt so wrong trying to talk over you. Couldn't do it.
It's a learned skill. You try to talk back and forth without talking over each other. And we'll talk about that later. But right now we're going to talk about editing, because you have actually recorded a podcast and you want to know what to do with it now, because you've got this great audio file and now you have to figure out how to make it into a podcast.
Yes. And there are some things that you want to consider when doing so. Number one, what sort of level of editing do you plan? Because there are different amounts. You know, you can spend a lot of time going through and you can edit out all the different ums and the ahs and things like that. Or you can sort of agree that there is a natural amount that are in conversations and leave some of them in. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is because depending on how much you want to edit might dictate how long it's going to be before you can release.
Yeah, can you believe that it takes, if you edit out all the ums, all the ands, you process the tracks, and you believe it takes about an hour for every 10 minutes of podcast to edit. Do you believe that?
Yes, I do, because I've done it.
So have I.
But yeah, that's something that you're going to want to decide. And honestly, if you haven't done a lot of editing yet to date, that is something that you will get a better knack for it as you dive into it, because you will start to see when you go through different things that make you know, oh, okay, this is a part that somebody takes a, or this is a part that somebody goes, before they speak. So you will get to know these sort of things, and it might actually change your editing flow altogether. But to even get to that point, you're going to have to go ahead and get some software to do it. Now, the number one editing software that I would say it's the number one that hobby podcasters use.
Absolutely. It's free, and it's called Audacity. And so a bunch of podcasters use it, and you download it. It's freeware, and you can learn how to edit by using it. And there are some videos on YouTube which to use it. I'll eventually get a couple of videos up on betterpodcasting.com to show how to process tracks in Audacity and so on and so forth. But it is not difficult to learn. It's kind of like playing a video game.
It is. And this is actually a very functional piece of software. I know we've all had experience with different software that's free, and you sit there and you go, really? Really? That's all you're going to give me? No, not with Audacity. Audacity is something that they have a lot of built-in features, and there's a lot of things that you can actually do to manipulate Audacity as well. It's something that Audacity, I'll admit it, it's not my primary editing software. However, every single thing that I do actually gets to run through Audacity, because I'll give you a hint. It has what's called noise reduction. Noise reduction, exactly. All analog signals have a level of hiss to it. There's just it's called line noise. And that is as SP tried to demonstrate. That is something that the lines do have that in it. And you want to usually try to take that out. Well, the good news for you is that Audacity actually has built in a feature that helps you remove a lot of that. So, you know, you're not going to be able to take a signal that is primarily hiss and a little bit of voice and remove it. It's not going to turn out very well. But if you do have a little bit of hiss in there, it's got a great tool for that. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of podcasters do use Audacity.
It is. I'll give you an example of when to use it and when not to use it, or when to use it in a lesser level. So talking back and forth right now over Skype, Skype actually does a lot of compression and line noise reduction along the way anyway. So removing noise from this conversation that we're having right now over Skype, and we are recording over Skype, is pretty easy, and Audacity can handle that really well. If you go to a convention and you use your iPhone, or you get a portable digital recorder or whatever, and you're recording a panel or interviews or something like that, and you have clanking plates in the background or crowd noise or people laughing or whatever, that is not going to come out. And you actually don't want that to come out, because you're in a noisy environment. So you might want to do a little bit of background noise reduction, but you're not going to do as much as you would in a controlled studio environment.
No. And what will sometimes happen when you apply too much noise reduction, you'll actually end up in a situation that it starts to sound distorted, because it'll remove out some of the speech, I guess you'd say, from the person talking, and it ends up sounding just a little bit garbled. And that's something that, as you play with noise reduction, you'll start to hear it, and you'll start to get an idea of when and when not to use it.
Right. So Audacity is a very useful tool. Noise reduction is just one of the many things that it has on board, and we'll talk about specific capabilities of it as we go on. But for now, just understand that it's free. It's very capable. A lot of hobby podcasters use it, and you can use it too. It's one of the benefits of hobby podcasting is Audacity, and it's a great tool. Go ahead and use it.
Absolutely. Now, there's another way that you can edit as well, and Audacity, while it is primarily for your desktop, for your Mac or your PC, you might actually want to edit on an iDevice, and there's a couple of things that do work for editing on iPhones and iPads and things like that. Now, I'll warn you, it is a heck of a lot easier to do it on your desktop. I've tried these different things, but it is possible, and SP, you've actually played with one yourself, too.
Yeah, I played with a couple. The primary one that I've used is Boss Jock Studio. It's an app. It goes for about $10. I got it on sale for $5. And it is a very versatile app. I mainly use it now for a soundboard for my live shows like Starling Tribune and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it works great. But you can actually record your podcast in Boss Jock, do some minor editing, and then actually upload it to Libsyn, for instance, or wherever else, Dropbox or whatever, and you can put out a podcast like that. Now, I don't really advise it because it's going to be difficult. You're not going to get the same quality out of it as you would on a PC. But if it's all you got, if it's where you want to start, go ahead. By all means, go ahead and do it. You get the same experience of learning how to do a podcast as you would on a PC.
Yeah. And then you can come on here and tell us all about it. No. there's also one that's called Aria, I believe it is. And it's another iPad, iPhone app. But yeah, we won't touch on it too much because really, it is a lot harder to do it on that.
It is. And it's just because you don't have a mouse available. You have limited screen, your touch points for your fingers. It's not as precise in this day and age with the electrical conductivity. And it's just, do I advise it? No. If it's all you got, go ahead and use it and have fun, like I said, because this is fun. We're talking about fun, right, Steven?
Absolutely. There is some paid software, though, as well for your desktop. And some of these we've tried out. Some of them, honestly, we have not. But the first one that I do have a bit of experience with is Adobe Audition. Now, this is one that used to be a piece of software that you would buy outright, like you do a lot of things. You'd pay for it up front and then use it for whatever the length is that you want before you upgrade. But Adobe has in recent years switched most of their software programs over to a subscription model. So you pay a certain monthly fee. Now, that could be a good thing. You might not be able to afford the Adobe software otherwise. There's something that to consider, that Adobe tends to make their products quite expensive. And by doing the subscription model, it does make it a lot more affordable for different people. So Audition is one. Now, the thing that you want to know with Audition is that Audition is tailored a little bit towards the more advanced user. There are some really great features in there, but the history of Adobe Audition was that it used to actually be a broadcast piece of software. I don't remember what the name was. It had a different name, and then they went and they renamed it to Adobe Audition. After three versions, they ended up trying to tailor it a little bit more towards the home side, adding in some features, but a lot of those sort of more advanced options and sort of skill sets that are required are still present in Adobe Audition. That is something that you will still see a little bit of that. So if you haven't edited a podcast before, you might find that it's a bit of a jump going from something like Audacity up to Audition.
Skill set? We don't need no skill sets. We're hobby podcasters. We grip it and rip it, right?
Yeah, I will say this. Adobe is not the easiest. The Adobe Audition is not the easiest thing to use if you've never edited before. I will admit that now.
I'm looking forward to actually trying out some of these paid services like Adobe Audition. I just haven't yet because I actually was going to do it last summer, and I didn't because I had gear failure. So I had to deal with that and setting up my home studio again. So what I've been using all the time right now is Audacity at home. So I really don't have a lot of experience in some of these paid ones, but I have heard that Sony SoundForge and Pro Tools are two other professional sound editing systems, software packages that can really do a lot of good if you know how to use them.
Yep. There's another one that might be on your radar called Cakewalk Sonar. Now, this is one that has a variety of different levels. I believe it starts about $60 and then works its way up to like the producer or the studio level or something like that. And it's a lot more money. Now, I've actually played with Sonar as well because it came with the FireWire interface that I use. And the big thing that I found why I didn't continue using it for editing was because it is tailored more towards a musician. There are certain things that you'll find that you want to do when you edit. Sometimes if you do cut something out, you want to actually merge the part in front of where you edited with the part behind it so that it kind of blends that silence that we were talking about. And it's not easy to do in Sonar because it is tailored more towards a musician. There's some other things with navigation that I found was a little bit hard. So it is one that I do know people who do podcasts and edit in it, but it's not my favorite by any means.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about mixers at all, but there are some USB mixers from Behringer and Mackie that actually come with free software for editing. And again, they're more oriented for the musician. So honestly, if you're doing voice work, Audition and Audacity are probably your best bets. And they're also on the Mac side. Let's not forget, there's GarageBand. And again, I haven't used GarageBand as much, but there are a lot of people that have.
Yeah.
Keir Hansen on the network. He is on Gallifrey Public Radio and In Defense Of. He does use GarageBand from time to time to edit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely several different options. We're going to go ahead and post some other suggestions in the post at betterpodcasting.com. Because there's a whole pile of different things that you might want to check out. But between you and I, SP, I think we can agree our recommended start point is Audacity.
Absolutely. Unless you're in the industry, you have done this before, I would definitely start with Audacity. I can't say enough about it. It's free and it's very capable.
Yeah. And like I said, lots of really great features in it. It is unbelievable what you can do to manipulate it for a free product. And it actually will take what's called third-party plugins called VST plugins. What that is there, it's essentially an add-on to the software. But the thing that's nice about what's called a VST plugin is it's a standard format that a lot of these different editing software can do. So some other person goes and they make this add-on and it's able to be applied to a bunch of different editing software programs, including this free Audacity. So how cool is that?
It's very cool. I enjoy the versatility of the plugins that I have, and they make the experience so much better, as do hotkeys. But again, we'll get into that as well. But the recommended, again, to start out with is definitely Audacity.
Agreed. So now that you're going to go ahead and edit, you might ask yourself, well, what do I want to do to edit? Well, number one, you're going to want to go and edit out some of those little ums and those ahs and those random things that we talked about at the top of the show here. But you also want to go and edit out the parts where you maybe have to go re-cue yourself, because you will go and you go to have this great idea in your mind of what you want to say, and you're going to start saying it, and you're going to go, wow, that was terrible. Let me try that again. So you're definitely going to want to go ahead and do that there and pull out all of those flubs and those missteps.
We never, ever have problems thinking of what we're going to say, do we? Ever.
Of course not. Of course not.
Never happens. Ever. Especially on live podcasts. Mm-hmm. It never happens.
It happens all the time. And, you know, that's a good point, actually, SP. If you get a chance to watch somebody do a live podcast, you should do that. Because if you are trying to figure out, well, what should I edit? What should I not edit? If you go and you watch the live raw version, and over on the Gunna Geek Network, you can go to geeks.live. There's a ton of different shows that do broadcast live. I encourage you, watch the live product. And then when the posted product's out there, go listen to that. Because then you can kind of see some of the differences. And that's a really good way to maybe see how someone else does it. But yeah. Like I said, you're going to want to decide what you're going to edit out. And you'll go through and you'll do that. But there are some other things you might want to consider. We talked about the noise reduction. But let's say that you are somebody who 1 minute is going to sit there and you're going to talk somewhat quiet like this, and then you're going to talk really loud like this. You don't want the listener hearing that and suddenly ripping off their headphones on the bus, and then they sue you because you damaged their headphones. Okay, they probably won't sue you, but still.
Yelling makes every podcast better, right?
No, it doesn't, but... that's something that naturally it will happen. You'll get really excited about a topic and suddenly you'll be talking very, very loud. And then the next minute your voice will be strained. So you'll talk quiet. So you want to level that out. And there's a couple of different ways to do that. There is a thing that is built into Audacity called Leveler. Mm-hmm. Then there's actually one of those plugins that I talked about. And if you don't know a lot about this, you might want to Google or reach out to us. We'll tell you how to do it. Absolutely no problem. It's called GMAX. So what GMAX does is essentially it's going to go and amplify all of your audio on a given track, and you're going to set a point that you want to bring it down to. And so what's going to happen is it's going to constantly bring down the level to somewhere that you want to have it. And then it's going to end up making it even all across. That's the bottom line, is it is something that's going to make it sound a lot more even. Now, this works very similar to what they call a compressor. And that's something that they use a lot of times in broadcast. You can get actual physical hardware compressors. And this plugin emulates that. It's a very good way of doing it. And what's nice about it is it does it a little more naturally than the built-in level feature in Audacity. So you end up with a little bit of sort of peaks and craters and things like that. But it does sound a lot more natural to the listener as such.
Yep. One term that is used to describe it is maximizing limiter. Mm-hmm. And I know that's very, very deep geek speak, but basically it means it's maximizing every little speech up to the point that you set. And so when you look at one of my podcasts, for instance, you will see a nice big block if you open it up in Audacity. And that means that I have it set for -2. I mean, there's podcast standards out there. They're trying to make podcast standards for audio, right? And how can you control this wild west of podcasters? That's one thing that I just have to laugh about, because there's no right or wrong answer for podcasting. There's better and there's good and better mm-hmm. ways to do things. But yeah, so they're trying to come out with a podcast standard on noise level. But if, for me, I just set everything to a -2 on that. But unfortunately, GMax only works on PC. Yeah. Yes, that's right. It does not work on the Mac version of Audacity. I'm sorry, folks.
Which is why you should get a Windows machine.
Do it. Do it. Everybody's doing it.
But GMax, once again, it is something that if you haven't really had much experience with it, you might be a little overwhelmed at first. We encourage you to come by betterpodcasting.com, comment on the latest post. We'll see it and we'll give you some recommendations on how to set it, because we could give you all the numbers now, but let's be honest, it'd be boring. So just go and post and we'll tell you all about it.
Please do. Contact us anytime.
Yeah. So that's one of the plugins. Another one that I really, really enjoy is one that's called Floorfish. Now, Floorfish is what they equate to being a gate. Now, a gate is something that what it is essentially it mutes the track until it detects noise. You set the threshold of noise it needs to detect, and then it opens up that track. So where that is really handy is if maybe you're in an environment that you do have something a little bit in the background that kind of gets picked up. Maybe you got a bit of a train that occasionally comes into the background that you hear. What you can do is...
It never happens.
Yeah, never happens.
Especially on live podcasts. No. Never happens.
No. But you might have maybe a bit of an AC rumble somewhere the next room over. It's best not to have it on, but we also are hobby podcasters, so we're probably also not going to sit here sweating away, wearing
suffer
nothing.
For your art.
Yeah.
Suffer for your art.
It's probably not going to happen, but you could end up having some form of background noise. So what Floorfish does, like I said, is it gates it. So you would set it to a certain level that it has to detect before it opens up the track. So once you finish talking, it essentially remutes your track automatically, and then a lot of the background noise is gone. It is a very handy feature to have.
Now, I use a very similar plugin called Nyquist Noise Gate, and you can Google that and find it. It basically does the same thing. You set it for whatever level that you want to cut off, and then you actually set the noise floor as well. And now the noise floor in Audacity, I've read through this plugin, is -96. So if you set it for -96, it's going to be dead silent. It's the same as putting silence in your track. So you can do that, and then it'll take out all the minor little lip smacks, all the minor little breaths, and it will also take care of just desk hits and stuff like that, mic hits, that sort of thing. And that never happens in a podcast either. Nobody ever smacks their microphone as they're wailing their hands all around.
Yeah, happens all the time. All the time.
It does.
The only thing that you might want to consider is this isn't going to be perfect, because especially if you're using a condenser mic, because if you end up making noise to the degree that you would talk, you're going to trigger that gate and it's going to leave it in. So you'll still have to take out some of these things, but it'll solve a lot of your problems.
Sure will. So mm-hmm. Plugins are great. They're fun.
They are.
Get to use them. Get to know them.
Exactly.
They're your friends.
And the third thing, and this is something that's a little more advanced, that I encourage you to absolutely get to know the rest of the editing process before you play with this, is equalization. Equalization is something that if you have a microphone that maybe is lacking a certain something, if it's a less expensive microphone, you might find that it's maybe missing a bit of the higher end, or maybe the opposite. Maybe you have a big boomy voice and it's actually picking up too much boom. What equalization does is it allows you to go ahead and manipulate that a little bit. So your lower end, your lower pitch stuff, maybe you want to reduce it, and your higher pitch stuff, you might want to increase it if you do have that boomy voice. Or conversely, maybe you're somebody that does not have the biggest boomy voice and you want to increase it a little bit. Now, the reason that I want to say that you should not play with this until you really get to know it is very, very subjective. Everybody has a different vision about how a podcast could sound. And I will tell you that most people that I talk to who have never podcasted before, they tend to ride the lower end far too heavy. So you think, okay, now I got that big radio voice, but the reality is you just sound muddy. And that's something that until you get some experience playing, you might want to leave that off the deck for now and play with it a little bit later.
My very first podcast that I podcasted as a permanent co-host, right? I got this new little small format USB mixer. I got a dynamic cardioid microphone. Wasn't as capable as the one that I'm using now. And I just cranked that bass up. I was like, oh, I'm going to sound so much like a radio broadcast host. Yeah, I sounded like crap. It was incredibly bad. So yes, don't raise the bass at all. If you have a mixer, don't raise the bass at all when you're first starting out.
Yeah.
And in matter of fact, in the EQ, don't do, well, you could try it, right? You can use the bass boost in Audacity to try to see what it sounds like, but you're just not going to sound well. And then also, after you're done with your file, which we're not there yet, but after you're done, you should listen to it in a multiple of different ways. You should listen to it on your computer speakers. Mm-hmm. You should listen to it in your car. You should listen to it in your earbuds. And you should just find out how the different things are affecting what you're hearing in the different environments.
Yeah. And that's something that I personally like to play with EQ just for fun. Sometimes I get it. Sometimes I don't get it. But it is something that I personally get a bit of a thrill out of doing that. I know I'm a sick person, but that is something that you really do need to listen to in multiple environments. I can tell you, I have countless times early in the morning been playing with some EQ, think I got it on one pair of headphones, throw my earbuds, sounds great. And then I go to my car and I'm like, Steven, what the hell was that? So that is something that you really do want to do, check it out in a bunch of different environments if you do start to play with it. But once again, I've said it three times, I'll say it a fourth. I highly encourage you not to play with EQ, at least on your release product, until you get a little more experience.
Can't say enough about that, Steven. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So while if you're listening to this podcast, you heard our great intro. And the intro, we had a voiceover, we had music, and we had Led Zeppelin in there, didn't we?
Of course it was. And then the outro, we use a Queen song too, right?
Absolutely, because Queen is my favorite band. And then our bumps are from Van Halen.
Eddie did a solid for us and made those, right?
Just special for us. Just called him up, said, hey, we need some little cover music for our podcast.
No, what SP is getting at here is that we use what's called royalty-free music. Now, why do we do that? Wouldn't it be a lot of fun to take the latest Bieber and use it on your podcast?
Only for you Canadians.
Yeah, you can't do that. Unfortunately, music comes with what is called a copyright. And that means that if you use it without permission, you get sued. Well, you could get sued. But the thing is, you don't really probably want to touch that territory. Something that if you end up uploading your video to other, or your audio to other places like YouTube, there's actually things to automatically detect that and possibly pull down your podcast. So it's best to stay away from that. So what do you think? You're like, oh, I don't have $100 to shell out for somebody to make me a brand new song. Well, you're in luck, because there are people who actually go and make royalty-free music. Now, you can get free royalty-free music, and you can get paid royalty-free music. You can pay a lot of money for something, you can pay a little bit of money for something, but at the end of the day, as long as you're using something that is dubbed royalty-free, you will be okay, assuming that you follow the terms and conditions that are there, because royalty-free music sometimes does have certain criteria. If it's free, a lot of times you must credit that site.
Yeah, and a lot of the podcasts on the network that we're a part of, the Gonna Geek Network, you can go and listen to any of them, and most of them will have a credit at the very end, even if it's a paid song, just to tell people that, yes, we know it's royalty-free music. We didn't rip it off of a CD that we bought from Best Buy or Target or whatever.
Absolutely. And that's something that you can look at some of these different sources, but I encourage you, if you can, put a little bit of money out for something, it's a good idea to do that, because some of the sites that we're going to tell you about here are used by a lot of podcasters. For example, there is one that is it's a fellow named Kevin McLeod, and he does a lot of royalty free music just for fun, called Incompetech.com.
Yep. And on his website, by the way, there is a way to donate to him. Yeah. So if you do use his stuff, and I would encourage this of any artist. So if you use their stuff and you like it, you just pay him a little bit, even if it's $20, you know, whatever, you can get a great gratitude. Matter of fact, we have a fellow podcaster, Nightwing. When he started a new show, he actually contacted Kevin McLeod and he said, hey, I'm going to start this new podcast. It's going to be this subject. And he made a track specifically for him that was royalty free that anybody can use, but it was specifically made for Wing, and he used it in his podcast.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yep.
One that you might want to pay for, one that we usually recommend, is called Pond5. Now, funny story about Pond5. I was actually at the local retail shop returning an item, and they had up on the wall a TV playing the latest movie, which happens to be Avengers Age of Ultron. And it's at the credit scene. And what do I see in the credits? I see a credit to Pond5. So that's how big their database is I saw in credits for a feature film, Pond5.
And at this point in time that we're recording, Avengers is like the one of the top five all-time movies for like most money made over the first weekend and stuff. So it's not just music that's on Pond5 either. They have some stock footage on there, video footage and stuff like that. But it's great. The one thing I will caution you about using Pond5, which I love their music, by the way, and you will find their music in a lot of my podcasts, is if you're searching for that just right tune, you're going to listen to a lot of tracks and you will hear every 5 seconds or less, I can't remember how much it is, Pond5.com.
Yeah.
Pond5.com. Pond5.com. And it's a nice woman's voice, but it's the same thing over and over again because they're trying to make sure that you don't rip off their music, right? And I get that. But it will drive you nuts as you're searching for the right track.
But they got to do it. And, you know, there is therapy out there for a reason. So
I've used it.
But it is a really good source. Actually, it would be my recommended source if you are going to pay for music. Now, you need to be cautioned that there is a variety of costs for the music. I have seen it where it costs a lot on Pond5, and I've seen it where it costs not a lot. So it is something that just be aware, you may have to spend a bit of money.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to get royalty-free stuff or to pay for stuff or get it for free or whatever. Just Google royalty-free music. You'll come up with a lot of sites. We'll put some in the show notes, but remember, if you can go out and search for yourself, do a little research and find some great stuff too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so once you've got your music together and you've made your bumps, if you want to do that, or maybe you've made your intros, your segment intros, which is something that you could do as well, What else do you have to do in order to post? Well, on the note of editing, different type of editing, you need to probably get yourself some album art.
Yes, that lovely thing that pops up, that logo of your podcast that is your brand, that will be in iTunes, that will be in Stitcher, that will be in all the places that you actually post your podcast. It's what people will see. And the better quality artwork, the better eye-catching it is for somebody that's searching for a subject matter that you are podcasting on. So keep that all in mind.
There is a service called Fiverr, which is a place that you can go and you can find different artists and things like that. And essentially, they're posting there trying to get some extra income and whatnot. And usually the stuff starts at $5. You can go higher, but it starts at about $5, hence the term Fiverr. But you can actually get some art made for $5 if you want to, and it might be a very good use of your money. Now, will you probably get the same level of product that you would get paying a graphics designer a lot more money? Probably not, but it is a good place to start if you have no real skill set in design or creative design or things like that. It's a way to get yourself some art, and I know lots of podcasters who have used it to get their cover art.
Yep, there's a lot of ways to do it. It is a way to do it. Now, keep in mind that you'll have to specify how you want the logo, right? So one thing that I can tell you, and these specs change all the time, but in early November of 2015, the spec for a logo that you want to look for is a 1400 by 1400 PNG or JPEG file that will be iTunes compliant, because iTunes comprises of about 70% of the downloads that you're going to get. Google Play is starting up probably soon after we record this, but you will find that 14 by 1400 will be a good starting point. Now, you might want to get a higher resolution thing and then step it down a little bit. But remember, some of the higher quality stuff that is bigger doesn't step down very well. So it might not look great as a 144 by 144, which you might want to put in your ID3 tags.
Yeah.
But in any event, what we're telling you is you need to go out and get yourself some eye-popping artwork that will represent your brand.
Absolutely. And when you do that, you will need to go ahead and do what SP just touched on, which is your ID3 tags. But that's something that we'll actually cover on a future episode, because there is a lot of stuff to know about that. But essentially what that is coding in your show information and episode information right into the podcast file itself.
Yep. So if you're listening to the MP3 file through wherever, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever, that information is available on your smartphone face or digitally on the screen or whatever. So encoding the proper information on the MP3 file is a must.
Yeah. Agreed. But I think that's going to take us to the end of our points today about editing and the stuff immediately after recording. SP, you got anything you want to throw in here before we get to this week's Better Podcasting Download?
Just to say that it is a very complicated subject. We will be getting more in depth on it in the future. So if you're a little frustrated that we haven't covered just your specific question, don't worry, we'll get to it. But if you want to make sure that we answer it or get back to you sooner than we release an episode, don't forget, you can contact us at all the great ways, including comment on the show notes on betterpodcasting.com.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get into this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Let's do it.
This week in the Better Podcasting Download, we are going to talk about something very timely. This is something that you're probably going to see a bunch of this happening in the next few weeks. And we are talking about how to shop sales. Now, you as a podcaster probably are going to start to fall in love with all of these great deals that'll start popping up automatically for you once you start to shop gear. It's just the way that Google knows. Google Ad knows everything about you. And all of a sudden, your ads will start to be tailored towards all of these gear sales.
Yeah. Hey, look, even if you're just looking for your initial microphone, like we talked about last time, and you just need to purchase that one thing, these sites will tell you when those deals are happening, which is very important. You need to save some money. You're a hobby podcaster. You're not planning on making a ton of money on this. And even if you are planning on making money off of it, you're not going to make money for a while. So you need to save as much as you can. So don't go hog wild on the gear. Don't do it. Don't get consumed by the gas. But so just so you know, there are deal sites out there. We're going to bring you through some of our very favorite ones. And it's not just for the holiday season. We're in the middle of the start of the holiday purchase season.
Yeah.
But these go on all year round. And you can actually find out the best price for some stuff as well.
Absolutely. Now, one of the places in the States that we usually recommend checking to see if it is a deal, it's Amazon.com. We're not here to sell you anything or try to sell a product or anything. But bottom line is Amazon is such a powerhouse in a lot of these different gear things that you will often be able to tell whether or not something is a good deal by going to Amazon.com.
Yeah, plus the product availability on there is incredible too. Look, I have noticed that Best Buy here in the States, and again, we're talking early November 2015, just in the last year, they got rid of a lot of their home recording stuff. So while you can go to BestBuy.com, order the stuff, have it shipped to the store, it's not available in the store anymore. Guitar Center doesn't have an incredible amount of podcast-specific stuff. Now, they're growing in certain markets like Dallas. We have a friend, Sean, who's been to the Guitar Centers in Dallas and said, there's a whole podcast room. Well, that's great if you live in Dallas, but if you don't, then you don't have that available to you. And then you have your mom and pop music stores, which again, cater to musicians, not necessarily podcasters. I sense it's going to change a little bit, but probably not too much because the big money is in bands. It's not in podcasting.
What? There's no money in podcasting?
Very little. Hopefully that will grow over time, but no, there's not. So Amazon.com is a great way to start out with. And if you think you see a deal on Amazon, we've got a way to find out if that is really a deal or not. Right, Steven?
We do. And when we tell you this website, you're going to go, what are you guys on? And I'll just say it. It's Camel Camel Camel. Okay, that sounds bizarre, right? But yes, CamelCamelCamel.com is a great way to shop gear because what it will do is you paste an Amazon link in there, and I will tell you, I'm Canadian. It will take the Amazon.ca links, and it will give you a snapshot of sort of the last couple years of that product. The immediate last year, but it will go back a little bit, and it will tell you the lows, and it will tell you the highs of said product. So, you might be like, hey, this Logitech C920 webcam sounds great deal at $79, but you're going to go ahead and put that in there and find it was a lot lower at several times in the last year, and it gives you a little graph of the different prices, and it tells you, like I said, the low and the high, but it really will give you a great idea about what a good deal on a product is.
You know what's even better about it, Steven, is that you can actually put in a product alert to be emailed to you or tweeted to you, and you can set the price that you're looking for. And I would recommend that you would check the lowest price that you see on there and just go up a little bit. Like, say, if you're looking at a $400 portable recorder, right? And you've seen it on sale for $299. So I would put the alert in there for $305. So you just go up a couple of dollars from where it is. Yeah. So in some cases, the deal, you will see the lowest deals fluctuate from time to time, and it depends. So you want to be above that deal. So if it's $20 above the lowest, if it's $100, it depends on the price of the object that you're really searching for. You want to set it for above that, and then that morning when that deal pops on Amazon, I don't know how they're linked to Amazon and the prices, but it finds out and it emails you or tweets you, and you know exactly when that deal is starting.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example of that. For a while there, I've been kind of eyeballing the Zoom H6 recorder, and up here in Canada, its regular price is $499. So I looked this up on Camel Camel Camel, and I found that a couple of times in the last year, it's dropped in Canada as far down as $349. Now, I know that that is something that $349 is probably, it only happened twice in the last year. It's going to be a stretch. The Canadian dollar has been suffering. I might not see that again. So what I decided to do was set the price alert for $405. because I figured if it goes below that, it's worth my attention. And I'm glad that I did that rather than a few dollars above the $350, because today it popped up and it told me that it was on sale for $399. So that is something that, be realistic with yourself. If you're looking at a product, maybe I won't get the best deal that is around, but if I want it that badly, let's set it to some level that I think that I would actually bring my attention to it, and maybe I would buy it. So set it more to that, and then if it drops below, it will tell you about that. Yep. Very good site.
So that is our primary thing, especially since so many people have Amazon Prime, is that it's easy two-day free shipping if you have Prime, and that does work for most, if not absolutely all, of the podcast gear that we would recommend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead, get that. And then there's also other deal sites out there. If you are a connoisseur of the electronic deals, you might already know these.
Yeah.
But the primary one that I use, and there's three that I check from time to time, but the primary one that I use is slickdeals.net. And I had to check. It's not .com. It's slickdeals.net. And that shows a lot of great deals out there. People actually enter them in, and if it's a good enough deal, it'll pop to the front page. So you might not necessarily see the deal right when it comes out, but you will see it shortly thereafter in that day, because there's just a ton of activity on that site. So yeah. If there is a deal, it usually pops up. So like the headphones I'm wearing, I got from a deal that I saw on slickdeals.net. The microphone arm that I'm using, I was eyeing this particular arm for a while. I saw it on a deal, and then I took it. So that is my number one recommended site to check every day if you are into that. Now, if you miss it, it's going to be gone. So some of the deals will be posted, but then if you don't get it that day, they'll be gone. Now, you can search for a specific item and see all the deals that have been posted there in the last year or two or whatever. So you get a good idea of what the sales are and how often they occur and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the sort of final thing that we have to recommend is from the sites themselves that you'll get to know where you can buy them from. SP mentioned Best Buy. Guitar Center is another. Up here, NCIX is one that a lot of times you can find certain things.
What do you got? Tom
Lee Music. Tommy? Yeah. Tom Lee Music is another great one. And what a lot of these retailers are doing now is they're doing flash deals or exclusive day deals. So it's a good idea if you can work it into your routine to check these sites, because it is something that you may go to the site and find that for today only, there is that product that you've been wanting, and it will be an exclusive deal that they have for that day only. Might even be a few hours only. So that is a new trend that a lot of places are doing with products, and not just to do with podcasting gear, but just technology in general. We're seeing a huge, huge shift in that.
Yeah, as we had to redo our podcasting rigs last summer, I could tell you that I had been checking the Newegg emails that came in every day for the flash deals, Micro Center, Tiger Direct, and just trying to get the best price for computer equipment, like larger disk drives, computer memory, that sort of stuff. Steven actually built an entire computer on a deal, so on a combo deal. So yeah, you need to pay attention to this stuff if you want to save a little bit of money on computers. And also, you get to know the price points after a while, after you search for a while, and if something does go bad and you need to buy it at a slightly higher level, you get to know if you're getting taken or not. So, and sometimes you just got to buck up and buy the stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But ultimately, there is a sea of resources where you can find these products and you can find them for sale. But as always, we love to share information with you. So that's something that if you think that there might be a good deal on it, reach out to us, because we'll tell you whether or not we know about it. And if we do, we'll tell you what we've seen it for before, so you can make an informed decision. There is a lot of just sort of wish list stuff that SP and I talk about on a daily basis. We go back and forth. So we kind of have a bit of snapshots in our mind about what is and what is not a good deal for a lot of different things. So feel free to reach out, and we're happy to share that with you.
Yeah, and we don't just buy the stuff that comes up on sale, like the H6 deal that came up to Steven today. He didn't go ahead and buy it right now because you have to be conscience of how much money that you're spending. You have to have a budget. We need to talk about that, by the way, on a future episode of having a podcast budget, because there's a lot of monthly expenses that you're going to have for hosting or whatever it is, right? So you could consider your internet connection, if you don't already have one, a podcast expense as well. So that is all stuff that we need to talk about. And I will say, if you know of a deal site that we haven't talked about and is great for podcasters, go ahead and hit us up. Tweet us at BetterPod or comment at BetterPodcasting.com.
Agreed. Very, very good point. But that does take us towards the end of the show. So let's just go ahead and close with this gentle reminder. Well, let's give you two of them. Number one, editing is going to be tougher than you anticipate. And number two, deals will be better than you anticipate, but it will take some work. So there you go. That's what I want to leave off with. How about you, SP?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, editing will be difficult, and your first podcast will take probably somewhere between 4, 8, maybe even 12 times as long as you will get when you get proficient. So just hang in there. We know it's tough if you're learning a new skill. We really do. And if you have any questions, you can hit us up and we'll try to bring you through it.
Exactly. So when you're shopping for deals or you're editing, patience. There's your golden word, patience.
Patience.
For episode 3 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.